Radio Free Palmer, 89.5 KVRF, presents Mushing Radio, hosted by Robert Forto. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto hosting from the KVRF 89.5 studios here in the Mat-Su Valley. You can hear all of our live episodes at RadioFreePalmer.org, and here at Mushing Radio, you can listen to us on MushingRadio.com as well as on iTunes. Just search for Mushing Radio there. We are back. It has been a little while since we've done a Mushing Radio episode. We've been concentrating on our dog training episodes up till now, and people will be happy to know that we do have winter finally in Alaska. We have about a foot and a half of snow up at our place in Willow, but here in Palmer, we have a little bit of the white stuff, a little bit of ice, but not a lot of snow yet, which is kind of unusual for this time of year. And I think we're going to talk to our guest about that here in just a few minutes. Her name is Christy Lint. She is a photographer. She lives here in Alaska and works with photographing the Iditarod and the Restart every year in March, and a lot of local races throughout the winter, and is a freelance photographer during the time of year when there is no snow, I assume. So, Christy, how are you doing, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Robert. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. Doing good. Just trying to stay warm.
Stay warm. Where are you calling in from today?
I'm all the way down here in Anchorage, so not too far away, but it's definitely cold out today.
It is a little chilly. You know, I'm thankful, though, that typically in mid-December, at least up in Willow, we're seeing the negative 20 temperatures, and we haven't seen those yet, thank goodness. Now, I guess it's saving us a few bucks on the heating bill. How about you?
Definitely, but I am hoping, at least for the mushers' sake, that it does start to snow a little bit more so that they can start getting in some practice runs more.
I know. You know, it is tough. I know a few races have already had to change their dates around. I know the Solstice 100, which is up in Fairbanks, has moved to the first weekend in January, the same weekend of the Connect 200. So when people sign up for races, they aren't quite prepared that they need to juggle. They always think that they'll go on without a hitch. But in today's weather climate, that seems to change things, doesn't it?
Definitely so.
So, Christy, tell us a little bit about yourself. I had mentioned you're a photographer. You work with getting some awesome pictures during the Iditarod and the Restart. Tell us who you are and what you're all about.
Well, I am actually a disabled photographer, and I moved up here to Alaska in 2001 to be a little bit closer to my parents who were living up here at the time. My dad is a retired search and rescue helicopter pilot. Used to work flying the helicopter up at Denali. So that's where I get my love for adventure in the outdoors, is pretty much from my dad. And so I came up here in 2001 and told them I was only going to be up here for a year. And 15 years later, almost, I'm still here.
You are stuck like many of us. Most of us come up here and they don't want to leave. I think that that is a draw that Alaska has on people that many places in the nation don't.
Definitely so. It definitely almost traps you in with the beauty of summer. And then I think winter up here is just absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. And I love photographing all sorts of animals, especially dogs. And so my love of dogs and my fascination with the Iditarod just naturally came together, and so I started photographing the Iditarod in 2010.
In 2010. So before you moved up to Alaska in 2001, were you a mushing fan, Iditarod fan up to that point, or was that something that you kind of latched onto once you got up here?
I pretty much, for the most part, I had heard about it, you know, through when I was going to high school and so forth, but pretty much latched on to it once I moved up here.
So beforehand, were you an amateur photographer? Did you kind of dabble in it? You know, now you're in the big deal of Alaskan sports out there taking pictures of the mushers and their teams there on the start and the restart in Willow. How did you get involved with the Iditarod, and what is that process? You know, how did you go about doing it? Did you get media credentials? Did you get a mentor? How did you go down that path?
It was actually almost by a very fortuitous meeting that I had with a lunch with a friend of mine. Her name is Nina. I have to give out a shout out to Nina, one of my gals that now lives down in Tennessee. And we were having lunch, and she was telling me about getting ready to photograph the Iditarod for a piece that she was doing for National Geographic. And so I talked to her about how to get media credentials and went online as soon as I got home from that lunch and filled out my media credentials application and never have looked back. And probably about a week or so after that meeting, I was at a local camera club meeting that we have in Eagle River, and we happened to have Jeff Schultz there as a guest speaker. So I got to know Jeff really well, and Jeff and I have stayed in contact ever since then, and I kind of consider him my mentor for when it comes to shooting the Iditarod and other sled dog races, along with a few other people. And that's how I initially got involved in shooting the Iditarod, and I do mainly stay in either Anchorage, or I've been able to shoot the Willow Restart the last few years. And what I do is I concentrate on shooting both the ceremonial start and then the restart, and then while Jeff gets to go out on the trail and gets to do all the fun photography, I am quite jealous. I stay here in Anchorage, and I go over to the Millennium Hotel every day and check out what the volunteers are doing and photograph the drop dogs as they're coming in, interview volunteers and take photographs of them, because they are really the backbone of the race from what I have come to learn. So the race really couldn't happen without all of the many, many volunteers that the race has.
And there at the Millennium Hotel, that's where they do kind of the coordination of the dog drops. And for folks that don't know what that is, as mushers drop their dogs from their teams along the trail, they're kind of funneled into the Millennium Hotel, which is in downtown Anchorage. And interestingly enough, a lot of those dogs go to stay at the women's prison in Eagle River, don't they?
Yes, they do. And actually, I'm glad that you brought that up. I actually am hopefully going to be able to have the opportunity this year to go out to the correctional facility this year and photograph the dogs out there and, you know, see exactly what the process is out there with the drop dogs.
So tell our listeners about the energy of the ceremonial start. Unless you've been there, it's very hard to describe. And in particular, if you are a musher or a handler or part of the scene, so to speak. I've been down there many a times with my friends, getting them up to the line, and it is just, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours of pure chaos, isn't it?
It is. You pretty much, if you want to be involved in the race at all and get a good spot, you need to be down there at Fourth Avenue at 8 a.m.
Right. So where do you stage yourself? Is it kind of the same spot every year? Are you there at the ceremonial start right there at the banner, or do you kind of mingle around and take pictures of the mushers and the dogs, you know, kind of behind the scenes, behind the gates, I guess, if you will?
I actually, we pretty much, my husband, he also photographs with me as well, and so we tend to do it different each year, just depending on where exactly we can stage ourselves. The last couple of years, we have been fortunate enough, because of being able to get a media pass, to go behind the scenes and meet with the mushers and photograph the dogs as they're getting ready, which is a very interesting perspective on the race to see exactly what the canine athletes have to go through to prepare to their measures all the way to Nome. And so the last couple of years we've gotten to do that. And then last year I wiggled my way with my wheelchair all the way down to the can't exactly remember what it's called, but basically I was right on the berm with the rest of the photographers and jumped out of my wheelchair and found a pretty good spot.
You know, a lot of people don't know Christy. We're talking to Christy Lent today. She is a photographer and works with the Iditarod at the ceremonial and the restart up in Willow. A lot of people don't know that in most years in March, all of that snow that you see in downtown Anchorage was brought in the night before, wasn't it?
It is. In fact, I also photographed the Ferrandi races, which is about a week or two before the Iditarod, and it's very ironic to see how well I can make my way down to the same area of downtown during, you know, Ferrandi and so forth. And then when Iditarod hits, we're having to push my wheelchair through a heck of a lot more snow because of the amount of snow that they've had to usually truck in, because in especially the last couple of years there hasn't been as much snowfall. So it's quite the scene to see 4th Avenue transform overnight practically.
And you know, it's interesting when you said different amounts of snowfall. If folks recall last year, up until just a few weeks before the race, they were thinking about having to move it up to Fairbanks because of the weather down here in Anchorage. And for folks that are listening, in particular in the lower 48, Anchorage is a relatively mild climate concerned regarding the rest of Alaska. It stays relatively mild, doesn't it, Christy?
I would say so, but then again, you're talking from the perspective of an Oklahoma gal that didn't see this much snow growing up. So.
it's still
every
cold,
year it's
for
still
sure.
A lot of snow to me.
Right. So before we head over to talk about the actual start in Willow and your experiences there, what happens with your photographs? Are you doing it for the newspapers? Are you doing it for sale to the mushers and the fans? Who are you taking pictures for?
Besides, obviously, myself, because I do kind of consider myself now an Iditarod groupie, but I also do sell them on my website, which is ChristyLentPhotography.com. And then I also am doing it for the mushers and their families. And a lot of times I'll actually have a handler contact me who has seen a particular picture of either themselves with a dog or themselves with their musher, and so I will be able to usually give those photos back to the mushers, kind of an in-kind gift for them letting me photograph the Iditarod.
Very cool. ChristyLentPhotography.com, is that correct?
That's correct, and that's Christy with the K. I know I've got one of those names that you can spell several different ways, so that's
either
Christy
which way.
With the K.
So the next day, typically the ceremonial start is the first Saturday in March, and then the next day, up in Willow, where I'm from, and kind of the home of the Iditarod, I guess, in Willow, about 65 miles north from where the ceremonial starts, is the start for real, right there on Willow Lake. And pretty much everybody means business at that point. All of the ceremony and pomp and circumstance is over. All of the mushers have their game faces on and they're ready to rock and roll. Tell us about that experience and maybe, you know, compare and contrast with the difference between downtown Anchorage and out there on the lake.
It is almost a different feeling as far as, like you mentioned, the circumstances Saturday. It's still there a little bit on Sunday, but the mushers are definitely a lot more focused, and they know that it's, you know, game day, it's time to go. And I try my hardest to stay out of the way of the mushers while still being able to get good photographs, because I don't want to hinder, you know, what they're doing to get their sleds ready and to get their dogs ready. But it is quite the sight to see going down on the ice, down in the mushers lot where all of the trucks are. It is definitely quite the sight to see.
And for folks that are listening, think of it as it's almost kind of like NASCAR. You know, off to the side there, you have kind of the pit row where all the dog trucks are, and all the dogs are getting hooked up and their final checks and vet checks and booties and all of that stuff. And then they work their way to the quote-unquote racetrack, the starting line of the actual Iditarod start. And then they take across Willow Lake, which is a relatively big lake. I don't know, maybe what, a half mile, three quarters of a mile across, you think, Christy?
I think it's about a half mile or so across.
And then they work their way through a whole bunch of other lakes before they hit the Big Sioux River and on their way to that first checkpoint there at Yetna Station. That's about, I think, about 40 miles, 45 miles or so. And at that point, things are rocking and rolling, and the race really begins to get underway at that point. Christy, you had mentioned that that you have to maneuver your wheelchair around to get that good spot and to you know, find the right place to set up. Would you mind talking a little bit about that and how that works out for you? How do you get around, and what accommodations do you make for yourself to make sure that that is all possible?
Sure, Robert. The nice thing that I like about the Willow Restart and it being out there on the lake is that the snow is a lot more compact than it is here in Anchorage, with it, you know, being on the lake and so forth. And so it is a little easier to push myself around on the snow. I also have a contraption that goes on the front of my wheelchair. It's called a freewheel. And for the mushers listening, they will appreciate this. It's kind of like sticking a lead dog on the front of my chair. And what that does is it allows the front casters on my wheelchair to raise about 2 inches. So the front casters aren't touching the ground. And so it's almost like a tricycle type contraption, and it makes it so I'm able to maneuver around on the snow a little bit easier. And then, of course, my favorite accommodation is my husband. I call him my human tripod because we do everything together, and he's right there for when I need him to help push me around. And then we usually either go into the press box area about 2 hours before the race and get set up, and I try to get a good spot at the press corps area, or I think this year we might actually go a little bit further down on the lake past the chute open area and see if we can get a better spot that way this year.
Very cool. So, Christy, we have about 11 minutes or so, and I want to come back to the photography part of it. I do have a couple of other questions, but I want to talk about your friend Karen Hendrickson. We mentioned her right after her accident on our other show, Dog Works Radio, when we interviewed an author to talk about her books. But you have done some pretty good things for Karen. Can you sum up what had happened to Karen, and you know, what's the status right now? How is she doing these days? I guess what, maybe 3 weeks or so after the accident?
It's only been maybe about 2.5 weeks since the accident. It hasn't been very long. I was actually sitting at home, and a friend had contacted me on Facebook and had told me about the accident, but nobody's name had been released yet. But a lot of people that I know that live in your area, in the Mat-Su area, know that I know a lot of the mushers. And so I jumped on really quick on the page. I think it's the Mat-Su Valley news page, and started following what was going on, and I was just praying, you know, that it, I mean, it was horrible what happened, but I was just hoping and praying, you know, it wasn't Dee Dee or Karen or anyone else that I knew. And so as soon as I found out, you know, I obviously was very concerned for her and the dogs, and she has made a remarkable recovery so far, and I just wish her all the best. And actually this coming Sunday on the 14th, myself and one of Karen's friends who lives in Talkeetna, Dora Miller, who is the owner of Aurora Dora Art Gallery. She does Aurora night photography like I do in the off season. We are actually going to be putting together a fundraiser, and I'm going to be doing holiday/Santa pictures for anyone that wants to come out. They're more than welcome to bring their dogs, or as I refer to them, their fur babies. And pictures will be a $20 donation, and all of the money that we raise will go directly back to helping Karen buy dog food or any other supplies that she needs for the dogs while she's unable to work.
And that's a remarkable thing. Are you involved, or are you the one spearheading the crowdfunding program? And if so, that's doing remarkably well, isn't it?
It is. It's doing very well. I will not take credit for that. I did not get that started immediately. I believe one of her other friends named Christy from Nome, I believe, got that started, but don't quote me directly on that. But Karen has a lot of wonderful friends out there that came immediately to her rescue and to the dog's rescue, so to speak. I actually just looked last night, and I think that there is close to $25,000 or more that has already been raised on that GoFundMe account.
Wow. Yeah, we wish her all the luck. You know, Christy, Karen was on our show, I don't know, maybe two seasons ago, and she is the most downloaded episode of all time here on Mushing Radio, over 30,000 downloads, and that was all before her accident. So she is a very popular musher out there, and she has a lot of fans, and I know just by reading and following on Facebook, she has a whole lot of support out there, and we wish her the best. We hope that everything works out well, and you know, as she said, as she was being loaded up in the ambulance, she wanted to make sure that her dogs were okay, and she wanted to be around and with her dogs as soon as possible, didn't she?
Oh, totally. I got to go visit her in the hospital once she got moved over to regional, and we just had a very nice and enjoyable visit, and I have had a lot of surgeries, and so I felt like I was able to give her, you know, some good advice on PT and rehab, and she just kept saying, but I'm going to make such a horrible patient, and I can't wait to get back out on the sled and the runners. And you can definitely tell that she loves her dogs more than probably life itself, from what I can tell. And so I wish her all the best.
Well, thanks for sharing that with us, Christy. Christy Lent today on our program. She is an Iditarod photographer. ChristyLentPhotography.com. Christy with a K. Christy, about 5 minutes left. You had mentioned in your bio that when it's not Iditarod time, that you do go to a lot of the other local races. You had mentioned the Fur Rondi, and you know, there's a lot of other smaller sprint-type races, and of course a few mid-distance races. But also, you do a lot of photography, and you mentioned that your favorite, of course, is working with pets. Is this a year-around job for you? Is this just a passion? Is this something you just truly enjoy? What's the deal with that?
It's definitely, it's a passion. I know that there's a lot of portrait photographers out there, but my personal preference is to work with the dogs. They aren't going to, you know, question your motives quite as much as maybe, you know, a person would, but I pretty much all year round will do some sort of either fundraiser for local rescue groups that I'm involved with, or, you know, private shoots with the VCA that's here in Anchorage, who helps out one of our dog rescues that we volunteer for. We usually how the current fundraiser actually got produced, I guess you could say, or the idea actually came from my husband and I. We usually do Santa picks every year with the local dog rescue, and we were taking a break this year because my husband kind of needed a break from playing Santa, and then this happened, and we just felt like that there was, you know, that we needed to give back to still be able to do something this year to give out those holiday photos for people that have wanted them year after year. So it's a passion of mine that I'm fortunate enough to be able to make a few dollars here and there.
Sometimes our passions equal our job, which is a great thing to have. Christy, any memorable story in during the years you've done your work with Iditarod? Maybe one dog that just kind of captured your heart, or, you know, an interesting setup in photography with a particular musher or something. Anything that you can share that just really caught your attention at one point and just sticks with you throughout your time?
Probably my favorite story is the year I actually had to miss the Iditarod. I had to have an unexpected surgery that couldn't be scheduled any other time except for 2 days before the Iditarod. And so I was really bummed because we already had our press credentials set out and everything. And I had gone over to the Millennium Hotel to pick up our press passes, my husband and I's press passes, and I was with my mom, who happened to be in town at the time. And after I got our press passes, I asked my mom if she would take me around to the kind of the back lot where I knew a lot of the mushers probably would be either hanging out, or I just kind of wanted to see if I could catch a sneak peek of anybody. And it just so happened that we caught Lance Mackey back there, and I've gotten to know Lance, you know, over the last 5 years or so, and he's just an absolutely wonderful person and very inspirational. And so I had gone up to him and was asking him about the race for that year, and petted some of his dogs. He had Mabel there with him, and Mabel was probably one of my all-time favorite dogs. And then on that following weekend, my husband took my place, and when he saw Lance at the restart, Lance actually, you know, asked how I was doing. So he had all of these, you know, reporters and fans around, and he took out enough time to remember, you know, that someone that he barely knew wasn't going to be able to be there at the Iditarod. So that is definitely one of my favorite stories. My second favorite story, actually, it's probably actually a tie, because I can't leave this one out. My good friend Jody Bailey and her husband Dan Poudis also are Iditarod mushers, and about 2 years ago, Jody offered to take me on an Iditarod makeshift dog sled ride, so to speak, with her dog team for that year. So I've actually been on a dog sled ride with an actual Iditarod dog team. So shout out to my girl Jody and to her team, to Topaz and Pepsi and Orchid and the rest of the Duclos Kennel team.
Very cool stories. Christy, thank you very much for being on tonight. ChristyLintPhotography.com is her website, Christy with a K. It's been a pleasure. I will definitely send over a link to the show once we get it posted. Thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Robert.
Thank you, Christy Lent, ChristyLentPhotography.com. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.
Bye.